Divine Appearance Day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who established in India an organized preaching mission throughout the subcontinent. We should not fail to appreciate the enormity of that contribution. Bhaktivinoda Thakur laid the intellectual foundation for the spreading of Krishna consciousness in the modern world. He wrote so many books and so many songs, and he pushed back the sahajas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur firmly established bhakti as different from what the sahajas were presenting it. At the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so many degraded persons were excusing their debauchery by using Krishna's pastimes. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur practically single-handedly established the true standard of bhakti yoga by the force of his literary prowess. It was the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that in every town and village, the holy name of Gauranga Sachinandana would be chanted. And he received a son who could accomplish that purpose. Previous until the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to be Krishna conscious, to be a devotee of Krishna, meant you found a guru in the village, and that guru in the village had a few disciples, and in this way you would get instruction. With the advent of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Gaudiya Math, for the first time you had an organized pan-India movement for preaching and practicing the message of Lord Gauranga. For the first time, a managed collective effort. Prior to this, sadhus were individuals. In a village, you had a few disciples. Now, with the advent of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Gaudiya Math, you had a powerful institution. Gaudiya Vaishnavism had never seen such a thing. Gaudiya Vaishnavism, if you've studied Gaudiya Vaishnav history particularly, you'll find it's, what's a good word, rambunctious. You know this word, rambunctious? It's quite spontaneous and free-flowing. Very individualistic. But with the advent of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for the first time in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, you had a very powerful preaching institution, preaching mission, using all the amenities and conveniences and technologies of the modern world. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur shattered the stereotyped idea of what a sadhu is. By his powerful manifestation of Rupa Goswami's Yukta Vairagya principle, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Muchate. Since everything belongs to Krishna, merely you use everything in Krishna's service. You don't turn your back on things that could be engaged in Krishna's service. Otherwise, that's Palgu Vairagya, false renunciation. This full-blown adopting of Rupa Goswami's Yukta Vairagya principle made the Gaudiya Math the sensation. Their fearless seizing of every means available in the modern world to spread Krishna consciousness. Especially printing presses. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission at its height had about 4 or 5 presses, not just one. And they were putting out so much literature, even daily literature. So many books, magazines, newspapers. In this way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur presented the spontaneous bhava of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in the preaching context. Besides his powerfully adopting Yukta Vairagya of Rupa Goswami, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, as you well know, challenged the caste system of India to the extent that his life was threatened many times. You all know the story of how some envious people went to the police to pay the police off. Please do away with this person. He's causing too much disturbance to the religion as we know it. And Prabhupada described that the police commented, yes, we certainly do such things. It's not out of question for us to do such things. You giving money and for us to remove someone, it's not a problem. We do these things, they confirm. But we cannot touch him. He's a sadhu. He's a special sadhu. We are afraid of the reaction, although ordinarily we do such things. Well, this is the opposition that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur faced, which Prabhupada summarizes very briefly in Nectar of Devotion, that saying in so many words that it's difficult to understand for us the enormity of the battle Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur fought for the right for anyone who is qualified to be recognized as a brahmana. Very difficult for us to understand that battle. But it was immense. And it was life-threatening. So much so that when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would lead his parikrama parties around Vrindavan, the people would stone them, throw stones. And you cannot imagine this. When you go on your yatras to Vrindavan, you don't get such treatment. And these were not foreigners with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. These were Indians, still. People would shower them with stones and abuse because they knew Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was turning upside down the caste consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was famous for being an insurpassable scholar, so brilliant, no one could defeat him. He knew all kinds of philosophy. He could hold his own easily with any scholar in any field. His intellectual prowess that he demonstrated was inconceivable. He specialized in presenting the message of Bhagavad Dharma without compromise, which was a very unique thing. What the Shastra said, he presented. He especially did not tolerate anything deviant from the pure devotional standard. In other words, he was not simply presenting bhakti powerfully, but he stuck tightly to pure bhakti without any material motivation. and he would impress this point upon anyone. So much so that even his own sannyasis were afraid to bring people to him for preaching. His own disciples. You could not imagine such a thing. His own disciples sometimes could not handle him in their conceptions. You could not imagine such. We'll not bring someone to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples, some of them, even sannyasi disciples, better not bring him to Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj will blow him out. Yes. He's too big of a man. He's too big of a donor to our mission. We bring him to Guru Maharaj and he'll be fried. Yes, that was going on. You can see that it's not universal that disciples, or it's not automatic that disciples have the proper vision of their spiritual master. It's not like it's just something that happens automatically. No, there are always various permutations and individual blends of vision. So there were some disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who had that vision, that improper vision, some of them were sannyasis too. Some of them would even criticize. Why is he saying like this? Our Prabhupada said that those who criticized fell down. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was definitely a revolutionary, definitely upsetting to people's conceptions of what is bhakti, what is a Vaishnava, what is a Brahmana. He turned everything upside down. He had covered India with his organized mission. I think something like 64 Gaudiya Maths. Every main place of any significance, Gaudiya Math was there. It's hard for us to appreciate how powerful the Gaudiya Math was under Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's guidance. Just knowing that they had 4 or 5 printing presses, which gives you some idea what was going on. And some devotees, some of his disciples, would tell in their memoirs about how there was sometimes opposition to the Brahmachari ashram. It's like sometimes in our university preaching here, there's some opposition. So parents would come to the temple looking for their son. And according to the memoirs of disciples, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would hide the boys under his bed. We don't know where he is. He was determined that those who wanted the pure standard of Krishna consciousness would have facility for that. So he's a very interesting person. In that he was so brilliant, no one could argue with him. At the same time, some people were very upset by him, turning all the traditional notions of Vaishnavism upside down. Even his own disciples, sannyasis, couldn't handle it all the time. Knowing about the strength of the Gaudiya Math, covering all of India, we can understand Srila Prabhupada's utter despair at the breakup of the Gaudiya Math. It's something that we should meditate on. Srila Prabhupada took very seriously the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to have a unified preaching mission. Not run in the usual village way, but run by organized management. our Prabhupada took that very seriously. But one difference that you'll find today between Prabhupada's line and other Gaudiya lines is they don't take that so seriously. They just take it that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had a wish that there could be an organized preaching mission even after his departure. Obviously, we couldn't do it, but life still went on. It's not the greatest loss. That's basically their attitude. But Prabhupada didn't have that attitude. He took it as complete devastation. Guru Maharaj wanted this. We did not do it. So even to this day, you'll find that between Prabhupada's line, the ISKCON line, and other Gaudiyas, there's not a harmonious understanding of this point. Others will take it to be a small thing, and Prabhupada's line takes it to be a big thing. And you'll read all about it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Prabhupada has recorded these things for posterity. That's how seriously he took it. And his godbrothers didn't appreciate this, Prabhupada putting these things in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But obviously Prabhupada had a reason for doing that. And over again, Srila Prabhupada would tell us that the only reason why he was successful is because he took the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur as his life and soul. Not only to preach outside of India, but also to have an organized preaching mission. So Prabhupada took this as the major thing, whereas other Gaudiya Vaishnavas, even today, they just see it as a small point. But Prabhupada would say, this is the only reason why I was successful, because I took this in a big way. That's something for us to think about. There's no doubt that no one understood Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur as well as Srila Prabhupada. That is not just our partisan view. You have to look at the results and see that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wanted an organized mission. That's what he had at the time of his departure. And so Srila Prabhupada did his best to create an organized, efficient preaching institution, preaching mission. So that's where ISKCON gets its heritage from. Certainly, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had other disciples who preached Krishna consciousness. There's no doubt about that. But we only find, objectively speaking, we only find that Srila Prabhupada took the entire impact of the Singha Guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and tried to put it into action. So this is the spiritual heritage that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Attachment to the order of the Guru as your life and soul. Again and again he would say, I don't have any special miracle. It's only this. This is the only secret. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kodiya Aikya Arna Kriya Marayat. Attachment to the words that proceed from the lotus mouth. I don't want anything more. This is the high confidential understanding. Sometimes Gaudiya Vaishnavas in the wide world of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, they speak about confidential nectar of Navadvipa, confidential nectar of Braj. Srila Prabhupada emphasized again and again the confidential nectar, Guru Mukha Padma Valkya Chitete Koriyakya Anakriya Mayas. Attachment to the mission, to the words of the Guru. I don't want anything else. Therefore he writes, Prabhupada writes in 4th Canto of Bhagavatam, that this attitude of taking so seriously the order of Krishna is the same as seeing Krishna face to face. So this is the attitude that Srila Prabhupada got from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he's passed that attitude down to us. Therefore, it can be said quite objectively that no one understood Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in entirety as well as Srila Prabhupada did. In fact, one devotee remembers asking Prabhupada, can we read the books of your Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? If any of you have tried reading his books, you know that it's very difficult reading because his language was so scholarly. So Prabhupada answered the devotee, yes, you can. But one thing you should understand, my Guru Maharaj wrote those books for me. I can understand them. They were meant for me. So obviously, Srila Prabhupada's connection with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had dimensions beyond what we can even fathom. Even when news reporters would ask Prabhupada, why are you doing what you're doing? Why did you come to the USA, for example? Prabhupada would even tell news reporters, I got the order from my Guru Maharaj, I came. That was his bottom line. I remember in the 70s about book distribution. Prabhupada, when sometimes there were devotees or his disciples were questioning why this emphasis on book distribution, and sometimes it seems maybe the people, they don't like it. Prabhupada answered, I'm simply following the order of my guru. I'm following it blindly. I cannot say what the result will be. Now that doesn't mean that we should never think of what the results will be or how to make the results as best as possible. But in this particular case, Prabhupada is demonstrating to us the total dependency on the order of the guru and not attachment to results. Such a statement is not an excuse that you shouldn't use your intelligence, but it's just showing his complete bhakti and dependency. Guru Maharaj told me to write and distribute books. I'm doing that. I cannot say what the result will be. I'm just following blindly. And he would always call upon his disciples to assist him and carry out the order of his guru by printing and distributing books. As you heard during the Juhu celebration, Prabhupada said that his preaching in India was something extra. His Guru Maharaj told him to preach in the West, so what he did in India was like icing on the cake. Disciple is always trying to do more. And so Prabhupada set the example of a perfect disciple, trying to give more to his Guru Maharaj once he had successfully done what his Guru Maharaj had asked him to do. Today we can meditate on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's unfathomable contribution of, for the first time, pushing Gaudiya Vaishnavism in an organized, institutionalized package. It had never been like this before. Everything was just the village guru and his disciples. Now you have moths everywhere organized under one managemental structure, and then that gave birth through Prabhupada to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, organized under the GBC structure. Prabhupada took it seriously. He got the GBC mandate from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who wanted a governing body to supervise the preaching mission. So Prabhupada did just that and took it very seriously, whereas other Vaishnavs, disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, even to this day, don't take that as such a serious thing. So this is our unique heritage. Not that we are putting others down, certainly not, but we are focusing on our unique heritage, and there's no doubt that Prabhupada gave us a unique branch of Lord Chaitanya's tree. This is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that ISKCON is a special branch of Mahaprabhu's tree. And we have special heritage to preserve. That special heritage is the organized preaching, the use of all the best that modern society can offer for Krishna's pleasure. We don't shy away from anything that can be used in Krishna's service. In fact, we say that whatever is available should be used for Krishna's service. It's meant for that. That's why Prabhupada, in preaching in India, was always eager to present organization and innovation in terms of preaching mechanisms to show people that they don't need to have a stereotyped understanding of a sadhu. In this way, he continued the work of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur broke the caste barrier, and Prabhupada continued in that way by giving Brahmin initiation, even sannyas initiation outside of India. And many of his godbrothers did not understand that. And of course, the most severe misunderstandings came from outside the Gaudiya Math remnants. For example, I remember, I'm going to have to put my legs down because I get cramped. I remember in Vrindavan at the opening of the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and some ISKCON devotees went to one temple, I believe it was Radha Raman temple, and the pujari told him that, you go on practicing, that's very nice, and in your next birth you may be able to be a pujari in our temple. And Prabhupada heard that, he became very furious and said, you go back and tell him he should go on doing his puja, and then maybe in the next birth he can take birth in our ISKCON society. So in this way he was very quick to assert the super excellence of Lord Chaitanya's preaching mission as handed down by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Prabhupada would always speak about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in terms of both Vapu and Vani. It's very interesting for us to meditate on the fact that, first of all, as soon as Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and heard from him, even after challenging in a respectful way, as at the end of the conversation, our Prabhupada accepted that. I can see Lord Chaitanya's mission is in competent hands. I'll accept this person's order as my life and soul. He always said that from the first time that he met Sarasvati Thakur, after their first conversation, he accepted, yes, this is my guru, this is the order I'll follow. The interesting thing, though, as you know, is that Prabhupada didn't accept initiation until 13 years later. Any of you here waited 13 years for Diksha? what Prabhupada said. There was never, after that first meeting, I had no doubts. There was no question. Our relationship had been established. He was not the one who had the constant physical association of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. That's why so many of Prabhupada's godbrothers were surprised at what happened in the future. Because, well, let's just, maybe we can think in terms of your situation here. You suppose 30 years from now, someone who is not a brahmachari, not living in a temple, just a congregational member with his family and is working at his business and coming, you know, visiting the temple during the week. Suppose 30 years from now that person turns out to be Paramahansa, Jagat Guru, a little defying the conceptions. So, this is what happened with Srila Prabhupada. His godbrothers remember him as Abhai Babu, very pukka householder, nice businessman who always tried to help the temple and visit the temple regularly. And he had his wife and children. And once, as you know, they commented to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, "This Abhai Babu, he's nice devotee. We should involve him more in the management council of the temple." And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur commented, no, keep him out, keep him aside. In the future, he'll do the needful." But no one could appreciate the enormity of that statement by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So therefore, when 40 years later, they see A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada traveling around the world, spreading Krishna consciousness worldwide, it was a big shock for them. He was not a senior devotee. They considered him to be nice householder, congregational devotee. He never lived in the temple. So in this way, it was a big shock for them. And some of them had, a lot of them, his godbrothers had great difficulty handling this. He was not one of the sannyasis, always surrounding Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He was not a member of the phalanx of danda carriers, And now they call him Prabhupada? It was a challenge for them. And in order to try to understand his success, the success that Prabhupada attributed to his following the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, in order to try to understand his success, they would say, "Well, it was because he was a good business person." Yes. That's why he was able to preach. He was able to have this worldwide movement because he was a good business person. I remember at Prabhupada's first disappearance celebration in 77, one of his godbrothers said, "Oh, yes, it was all because of the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur that something like that happened, and that your Bhaktivedanta Swami did like this, and bringing so many low-class people to Krishna consciousness. But I myself did not have the taste for associating with such low-class people." Things like this would be said, showing that many of his godbrothers had such a hard time picturing that this Abhai Babu, we remember him. And how they call him Prabhupada, now he Paramahansa. Even though they're seeing the effects of the preaching with their own eyes, could not accept. It was just too much. He never lived in the temple. He wasn't a sannyasi. He wasn't close physically to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So we can meditate on this point. How sometimes, due to our conceptions, we don't recognize how Krishna is using devotees. They could not accept this. And from Prabhupada's side, he would sometimes say, in one letter he wrote, All I got from my godbrothers was repression and suppression. Obviously, they kept considering, little Abai, nice congregational member. You see, it's not that Srila Prabhupada was flaunting things or trying to minimize anyone else's contribution, but he was trying to fix in our minds, in the minds of his disciples, that taking complete shelter of the order of the Guru accomplishes miracles. He went to great lengths to get us to understand this is what happened between Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and him. And he took the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur deep into his heart, regardless of success or failure. In fact, once when devotees asked Prabhupada why did he choose to go to New York instead of London or somewhere else, Prabhupada answered, some of my godbrothers had gone to London and failed. So I thought, let me go fail in another place. Sometimes Prabhupada would say that. I did not expect all this success. And then other times he would say that it had been revealed to him that he would do such things. But to us, he never emphasized anything else for his success other than taking the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur deep into his heart as his life and soul. He did not repudiate anything Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gave him. He did not shy away from anything. He took it all. And then once he had done what his guru asked him to do, he tried to do more to increase his offering. It's like if on one festival day you're supposed to offer 108 preparations and some or other at night, you, by the time you know it comes around for the midnight feast or whatever, you say, well, why don't we offer 216? We already did what's required. Let's just keep on going. So Prabhupada was like that. He did what he was supposed to do in terms of writing and distributing the books. But then he thought, what else can I offer to Guru Maharaj? Okay, I'll offer preaching in India. These are the ways of bhakti, real love. We spoke this morning about how our Prabhupada told us that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur left the world prematurely because he felt overburdened by too many neophyte disciples. And where he is now, Prabhupada said, I'm sure he's somewhere doing what he did then, he's doing now. He's preaching Krishna consciousness throughout the material world. Any questions? Yes? According to the memoirs of some disciples, he did that.
How important it is to practice brahmacharya as a service, of course, to Krishna. Just to practice brahmacharya throughout one's lifetime in this age of Kali Yuga.
There's no doubt about it that the Brahmacharya Ashram builds the future leaders, the future spiritual leaders. In Bhagavatam, purport, Prabhupada writes that the Brahmacharya Ashram is the best training place for the attached and the unattached. Otherwise, what more can be said? You all are demonstrating the results of having a sound Brahmacharya Ashram, so you're practically experiencing those results. You see, during Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's time, women were not living in the temple. He did give women initiation, but as far as living in the temple, no. That was something that Srila Prabhupada did in response to the hippie times, in which it was unheard of that boys and girls would be separate. You know, in Haight-Ashbury and Greenwich Village, such a thing was inconceivable. So it was a particular strategy that Prabhupada adopted in response to particular circumstances. Those circumstances may be a bit different now, but I remember what life was like at the end of the 60s and 70s. It was just, I don't know if you've ever seen movies or read books about the hippie days. You cannot conceive. Just boys and girls together, holding hands with flowers in their hair, and love one another. So it was those persons who Prabhupada attracted at that time. He said those were our best customers, the hippies. And so for the hippies, there was no question of men living without women nearby. It seems that times are a bit different now. I know in my own little preaching activities, I've had very good success separating the men and women, not in the same building, and the women having their own program, giving classes for themselves and organizing themselves. At least in my little world, I've seen it's made a great difference. Because otherwise, things get very difficult.
Maharaj?
Yes?
This point is regarding how Gaudiya Math split up after the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Now, as far as the ISKCON is concerned, still things are going on smoothly. We are all united under Srila Prabhupada's banner. But considering the next generation, that even in modern day ISKCON we see so many differences of opinion and so many fights and people leaving and a lot of campaigning and conversing centered around spiritual masters and things like that. So what is the way that ISKCON can remain united in its present form and spirit in future also, considering the potential dangers?
We have to understand the practical expression of unity in diversity. It's an easy thing to say, but a hard thing to do. We cannot deny that there are individual differences, and Prabhupada would never deny that. At the same time, we have to honor Prabhupada's request that there be some kind of coordinated preaching effort. At least on some level, we all have to work together. Although it's not possible to work together on every level. Not possible, because persons are individuals. But there should be some basic things that everyone can agree on, and there should be some overall coordinated preaching effort to some degree. do we keep trying to do this? Because it's the order of Srila Prabhupada, who took this order from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we'll keep trying, because that's our order. Mm-hmm. At the same time, of course, we recognize the difficulties, the differences. When you get an order like that from the guru, you may struggle with it all your life, but that's the way it is. So we're struggling with this order. This is our heritage. Srila Prabhupada had the confidence that he said, even if all the leaders of ISKCON go away, even if all the pujaris, he said, go away, all the GBCs, all sannyasis, all temple presidents, all pujaris, he said, his books have been circulated so widely that someone will pick up his books, read them, and just by reading his books, know exactly how to start the Hare Krishna movement all over again, just by reading his books. So that was Prabhupada's response to the problem of the survival of spiritual institutions in the material world. Someone will read my books and know exactly what to do and start the Hare Krishna movement all over again. But then he emphasized in saying this that, but you have the opportunity, you take it. Because this is the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this is the order of Srila Prabhupada. So we'll struggle with it. We'd rather go down struggling than not to struggle with it. This is the inheritance that Prabhupada has given us. This is the inheritance he received from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Some other things have to hold together while giving individuals their room to serve Krishna. It's a difficult thing. But we cannot just dismiss it because it's difficult. It's like you were mentioning about Prabhupada's Mission Impossible for giving him 17 books in 2 months. He wouldn't let us dismiss it just because it was so difficult. We had to struggle with it. So this is what makes our line different. It's true, other Gaudiya lines coming from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur don't take this point seriously. They don't worry about struggling with it at all. It's a tiny thing for them. Oh, okay, so we could not get along, we could not work together, we all went our separate ways. In this way, actually some say that because there are so many separate pockets, things increase. But Prabhupada did not see it that way. He was very affected in his heart by the breakup of his Guru Maharaj's mission. So it's something we've all learned to cope with in terms of his disciples as we've gotten older. Hopefully it's something that we're getting better at. At least my point in presenting this is that we should understand where the inheritance is coming from. It's coming from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. As it happened during the time when Gopal was on earth, that initially he was more accessible to devotees. In the latter year, as the number of devotees increased, they had very less frequent visits or meetings with Prabhupada. And similarly, we see today there are thousands of devotees all over the world. And devotees, they feel that they are not able to meet their spiritual master so often, or many times the spiritual master stays in another place and disciple in another town. At the same time, we have the instructions of Prabhupada in the form of the books. So how the coming new devotees should, because they don't have any, at least Prabhupada, there are few instructions from his spiritual master to print books, preach in English. But we may see that present day devotees may not have such few specific instructions from their spiritual master and from the Prabhupada's books. So how they should think about the instructions from their spiritual master and the books of Prabhupada?
My spiritual opinion is that you should try to accept the guidance of a guru who you'll be able to get some kind of personal association with and personal guidance. In some way, some kind of system is in place. Directly and indirectly. It seems that this was Prabhupada's idea when he put into motion the initiation system right before he departed. He said, "Who's nearby? Look and see who's nearby." Yet and still, we don't want to interfere with devotees' rights to be inspired by someone on the other side of the world. But obviously that does put some special, it should put some special binds on such a relationship, that the disciple has to kind of go out of his or her way to connect to the spiritual master who's distant, and the spiritual master also has to go out of his way to connect to such a disciple. It does put some special pressure on the relationship. And as my spiritual opinion is, as Gauranga was saying, that these days can be a little uproarious in our society, in our spiritual society. Therefore, it seems, from what I've seen, those devotees who have some kind of personal contact with their guru, they seem to do much better. That is my opinion. However, it's true that some devotees don't want that. They don't want personal guidance. They want their initiator to be on the other side of the world. Yeah, I know it's hard for you to understand that, but it's true. Maybe some of you have encountered such. I don't want him too close. He might tell me to do something I don't want to do. I'll keep his picture on my altar. I just don't want him too close. So I know this sounds strange to you, but there are devotees who think like that. In that case, I guess you could say that you get what you want. I do know, Burijan Prabhu told me this personally, that Prabhupada told him when he visited him in Hong Kong, Prabhupada told him, I wish I could train up all my disciples personally. That was Prabhupada's desire. I wish I could do it. So that's interesting to bear in mind. He expressed that. I wish I could do that. As I explained this morning, my hankering for Prabhupada's association, trying to get some position, not for the fame, I can say truthfully, not for the fame or reputation, but as a gateway to Prabhupada's association. That's all I was thinking. Anything else?
At present time in ISKCON, we see that many of the leaders who had very much close association personally trained by Prabhupada, and others at present, mainly those who are rare contact like yourself and many others, they are leading the society. So regarding to the personal contact, it's good, but at the same time, if we take according to this point that we should have personal contact with the spiritual master, then those who cannot have like the mentality of why he has, why I cannot have, the feeling of envious of that person. So how to understand that problem?
Well, first of all, you're saying that the leaders who had much contact with Prabhupada, they're no longer present, and those who are leaders rarely had contact. But you're talking about physical contact, because actually, through spiritual association, you can get even more than the physical contact. I know for myself, my desires for Prabhupada's association were fulfilled after his departure, when I was trying to accomplish his order in Eastern Europe. That is the mystery of bhakti. I got all that I wanted and more. Once Prabhupada said that physical association of the guru is for neophytes. Of course, we'll all say, oh, I'm a neophyte. But at the same time, besides humility, we should understand that the real action is the vani. But through the vani, you'll get association. That lesson can be learned. Now, I'll tell you another interesting thing that Prabhupada said. He said, if you judge who's close to him by physical proximity, he said, then the mosquito is the closest devotee to me. He said, what is the purpose of the mosquito, though? To bite me. So if you simply want to judge by physical proximity, then the mosquito is the dearest devotee. Bhakti is a mystery. On this holy appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, let us try to understand Srila Prabhupada as having understood Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur the most thoroughly, the best, giving us the chance to please Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, even in trying to do things that others have found very difficult. Prabhupada would like us to simply say that we just accept the order of the guru, and we'll try. Success or failure, never mind, we'll try. That's what Prabhupada said was the secret of his success, taking the order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in that way, as his life and soul. So that's the only magic, the only secret. He never said, oh, there's some confidential nectar from Navadvipa or Braj I haven't told you. Never said that. There's some hidden knowledge that I have yet to give you. He always said, I've given you everything, and there's only one secret. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kodiya Aikyo Anakariyo Maya. There is it. That is our heritage. All right. So, you have some bhajan singer who can sing bhajan. What shall we do? I wrote in my Vyasa Puja offering to Prabhupada. Should we first stress the unity and then see how to tolerate the diversities? Or should we